Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shoulda, woulda, and coulda. Aren't those awful words? How many times do you use them? Yeah, every day. I hear you. Okay. Well, they are words that we really shouldn't use too often, but we all do. We all do. All right, so why is Pastor preaching on them this morning? Well, I think the importance of that word sometimes is how we interpret them and how we use them when we talk to our friends, neighbors, and loved ones. One of the things I love is, in our readings, one of the things the readings are set up as is there's supposed to be a theme that goes from each reading as we do things. And that's why we read them that way. They're supposed to tie things together in the Psalms, the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Epistle letters. And I thought, there's a couple things in here, especially in the Old Testament Psalm, that I really like. Because they talk about the words that are coming from the Lord and speaking to us. We have been given the inheritance of the nations. Now stop and think about that. They're going to give us money? No. Who's the inheritance of the nations? Jesus. Okay. It's like that one song last night. All I got to do is call upon the name, Jesus. Okay. Our inheritance is Jesus. But, you know, one of the things, it doesn't say that, but Jesus is all through the Old Testament, and I like that. But does that mean that we can do anything in Jesus' name as long as we say Jesus? No, it gets a little tough, doesn't it? How do we treat our fellow man? If Jesus wanted us to learn a message, does he tell you you're right or wrong? He only did it one time. Where was that? In the temple, when he took a whip and went after the people who were giving out money. And the rest of the time, if he was talking to us, how did he tell us how to do things? He told us stories, didn't he? And the thing is, if people are smart listening to his story, you can start to see yourself in the story, can't you? Okay. And Paul takes us a step further. And when he talks about living in the flesh versus living in the spirit. All right, so if we're supposed to live in peace, joy, happiness, whatever, in the spirit, what's in the flesh? Anger, unhappiness, all the things we shouldn't have. What are should, would, and could? Are they in the spirit or are they in the flesh? They're in the flesh because usually what's associated with them? Anger. And so my focus this morning is going to be on the epistle lesson because I think that epistle lesson really is good. You know, one of the other things that is in the psalm is, of God's precepts are great. So that means everything we receive from God is great, right? It's what we do with it is where we show our faith and we show our Christianity. Do we force our beliefs on somebody? You know, sometimes. Okay? Should we force them on somebody? Think about that for a second. All right, Bubbles, can I use you as a... No, I'm going to use Ron here this morning. Ron, you should do this. But you know, isn't that way we usually say something to somebody? If you only would have done that, do you ever say that to him? Okay, I'll leave now before I... After 45 years. But you see what I'm getting at? We use those words all the time. You think Jesus would be happy with us if we used him? No. But the thing is, that's our flesh coming through. It's not our spirit. And when we want to live in the spirit, when we want to have God in our lives, when we talk to our fellow man, we've got to be nice to him. Think about my Bible studies for a minute. How many times in Bible study, thank you for letting me pick on you a little bit. But we love you anyway. But when we deal with our fellow man, or excuse me, my Bible studies. How often do I tell you in Bible study you're wrong? Have you ever heard me say that? What do I do? I start asking questions. Okay? And the thing is that it's not my opinion that matters. It's your opinion that matters. You know, and if I tell you you're wrong, okay, whose opinion is operating right then? Mine. Okay, see where I'm going with this? Okay, you mind. Okay, or I'll leave now. But part of the thing is when we want to communicate with our fellow man, we want to create our Christian atmosphere. There's something different about us because we're followers of Christ. Am I right? Okay, let's look at what is in our focus on Corinthians 8, and you might want to pull it up and look at it with me as we do this. Because I'm going to go through and actually talk about the words of God and what I see in this. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Think about that for a second. Okay? Knowledge puffs up, but love builds us. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. It's one of those in Paul's letter. You've got to sit here and really think. All right? If he imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. You see the should in there? Okay. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. All right. Loving God means he loves us. And if he loves us, we love our neighbors as ourselves. 1 Corinthians 13, right? Love is tender, patient, love is kind. You hear that every wedding you go to. But Jesus loves us with that agape love, that unrequited love. You don't have to do anything for it. It's just there. And to be agape love, it requires sacrifice. Remember that? That's always part of that type of love. All right, so if the example to us is God's love to us by sending his son to die for us on the cross, what is our example that we use to live as Christians? Well, we got to go to the cross. I don't know, but I think that's missing out on the point. It's treating people with the same agape love that God treated us with. And you remember, I keep on coming back to the cross because as we go to the cross, we receive from God, and then what happens? It goes out, okay? And if it doesn't go out, are we doing what we should do? No. And the thing is that it's safe in here. Now, I got to share something with you. Jim Marshall and his wife drove up here in a golf cart when I was getting ready to start the service this morning. And then he went away. Holy Spirit's working on his heart, isn't it? Okay? Folks, that's the thing. Do we listen to the Holy Spirit when it speaks to us? Or are we trying to get what we think, feel, onto somebody else? Is that listening to the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. I don't think so. Therefore, as the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and there is no God but one. Okay, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. For although there might be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom we are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we are all things and through whom we exist. See, there is that example that comes from God to Jesus, from Jesus to us. And what's the next step? It goes out from us onto somebody else. Right? Okay. All right. So, if we're Christians, then none of the other gods are important. All right. Now, in this day and age, we don't have a Baal temple across the street, right? But are there other gods that people have? Sure there are. You know, we've talked about that. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay? And we know as Lutheran Christians, we don't have to follow the commandments, but we sure like to. And what are some of those gods? Could be football. It could be alcohol. Could be food.
Money.
But you see what I'm getting at? We can follow those. Now, being on the outside, you can have all this wisdom, all this knowledge, And remember, knowledge is not a should, would, or could. All right, Noreen, if you just gave up the alcohol. Don't you see what I'm getting at? You see, now I'm trying to force my will on her. Okay, do you think Jesus wants us to act that way?
No,
I really don't. I really don't. And that's the danger when we see shoulds, woulds, and coulds, is we start to force ourselves on somebody else. Remember, anything we come from God is the arrow coming from Him to us, yes? Do we control and have the arrows come from us to God?
No.
So then do the arrows come from us to our fellow man?
Yes.
Think about that. They flow out of us, but we don't try and control our fellow man. We try and share with our fellow man. Does that make sense? Okay. And I think sometimes we forget that very simple thing. One of the things, as Lutheran Christians, we believe in the proper distinction between law and gospel. If you notice, I went back to catechism with that terminology. Proper distinction between law and gospel. What is law? What is law? What you have to do. Remember, keep it simple. Law is doing things. What's the gospel? What we receive. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ken. Was it you said that? Oh, and Betty said, okay, I'll get Betty. Thank you, Betty. Heaven sent. You know, it's heaven sent. Well, that's a good way. I like that too. All right. But you see what I'm getting at? We got to watch out for what we do here, because we can have our actions turn into law. We had, during our Bible study, we were talking about baptism. And the statement was made, you have to be baptized. And I responded to that statement, watch out for that, because now we've just made it a human law. How do we say that without making it a human law? God has the decree that we should be baptized. See, now we put Him in charge, not us. And the thing is, how many times in human history, especially in Christ Church, has that law been made that you have to follow or you're going to go to hell? Are we saved by the law or are we saved by the gospel?
Gospel.
And what does gospel mean? Well, it's a good thing I asked that, isn't it? You know, we talk about that all the time. Gospel means good news. It's on Jesus. You know, so when we're looking at gospel, the good news, now salvation, redemption, and all that stuff comes into it. But the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. Boy, that's real heavy, isn't it? You know, there's nothing hidden there. There's no law. There's nothing important on that. But it's all right if we believe things. Because if you thought, I'm preaching to the choir here, but if you didn't believe it, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning, right? But when we're talking to people out there, can you force your views onto somebody? No. And you're going to have people that, you know, I just don't believe. You know, I'll pray for you. I hope the Holy Spirit speaks to you sometime and opens your heart. Okay? And that's the thing. You can't force what you believe on somebody else. But boy, have we got an ally in the Holy Spirit, don't we? Is our relationship, let me ask you this. I mean, what is our relationship with? Is it with Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Yeah, see, I've got a bunch of different answers coming out right now. We're going to go back on this. This is from the Catechism again. What is the Father's job? This is what, when we look at the Creed, it's the first article of the Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So what did God do? He created. What did Jesus do? He saved, the word is redeemed, okay? So we have creation. Is creation done? Yeah, the world's here. What about redemption? Okay, think about that for a second. Do we have to have the cross every week? No. One cross, and He redeemed Himself on it. Now, we do this because we need to be reminded we're human, okay? But Christ died for our sins one time. The greatest thing, event in human history. Whether it was going up to that before or since then, everything leans back to the cross. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
You understand that? Okay. So, what does that leave? Holy Spirit. What's that funny word we use in the catechism for that? Somebody said it. Begins with S. Sanctification. So our relationship, well, you didn't know you're a bunch of Pentecostals sitting here, did you? All right, Jesus paid for us. Jesus did the work for us. Jesus is important. Okay, and that's why, going back to you, yeah, it is that way too. But our relationship, our daily walk is with the Holy Spirit. Are we open to the Holy Spirit? Okay, how many times when you were growing up did you hear a pastor say that, you know, the Holy Spirit's important? Okay, if you did, you're very lucky. Because when I was a kid, that was never said. It wasn't until I got to seminary and, you know, you've heard me talk about Dr. Scared before, the curmudgeon, you know, and say, well, Holy Spirit's not important. You know, I don't want to be in your church. So the Holy Spirit's important. And that's what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We want the Holy Spirit to lead us. Especially leading us in our relations with our brothers, our neighbors, who we love as ourselves. Who we don't want to do anything to them to make them stumble and not be Christian anymore. Okay, here's the next part of this. Okay. However, not all possess this knowledge. We've been talking about knowledge. But some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. All right, so that's talking to us. But what about that person who was a non-Christian? And we do something that makes them question. Okay. Now, one of the things that is in here is he uses the word stumbling block. Here. How does Paul address this? And I'm going to go back and talk about it. But take care that this right of yours now does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. The right of yours to be a Christian, the right of yours to witness and share your faith does not become a stumbling block. Because if it does, what has it become? Law or gospel? Law. And you remember that in the catechism, what does Luther talk about? What is the law? It's the curb we stumble over and the mirror we look at. Yes? Okay, that's third article stuff. Because without that, we don't know that we're sinners. And when we're sinners, it opens our hearts to the gospel. The gospel we receive. And so when we're looking at shoulds, woulds, and coulds, see, I'm going to keep on coming back to that. That's law. Okay, that's not gospel. But the thing is, it's hard for us to talk to somebody without thinking those three words, isn't it? Okay. And so the next time you get mad at your spouse and you want to say, if you only would, okay, think about that for a second, because is that God talking to you, or is it that other guy? How come I see spouses looking at their spouses right now? But you see, we've all fallen into that trap, haven't we? Okay, and the greatest of these is love. And it all comes back to that, doesn't it? If you love one another, you treat them differently, right? So let's leave those would, shoulds, and coulds on that stumbling block where they belong. Okay, see how I'm tying things together here? You must be getting ready to finish the sermon. Okay. Considering it was a 15-minute sermon today, so I'm sorry it's a little bit longer. But folks, remember, love one another as I have loved you. Because once that love starts to flow out, once we become, as Luther calls it, that conduit for forgiveness, acceptance, love to start coming out of us, is this going to be a better world? You betcha it will be. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you today with open hearts. especially after that message last night that we received that reminded us that all we have to do is call upon the name of Jesus and let the Spirit enter into our hearts and let that Spirit love us and help us to love others as you have loved us. And we ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.